welcome to an at-home episode of Smashy Business. We're witnessing a lot of heavy rains around Dubai, around the UAE, in Oman as well. So unfortunately, we couldn't make our way to the studio today. So what we're doing is we're making you listen to an old but gold interview with Dr. Suhaib Shahid. He's going to be talking about, because what else should you be doing when you're working from home? You should be looking at stock options and investments, and you know, you're thinking at home, you're sitting at home, sorry, and you're thinking, I can't make it to the office. Do I really need this job? You know what I mean? Do I really need this job? Yes, I do. However, how can I not need this job in the future? Perhaps stock options are the way to go. So enjoy this interview and send us any news that you're getting, whether it's about events being canceled. Middle East Energy was just canceled. Send us a DM on Smashy Business. That's where Love in Dubai, our sister publication, gets a lot of its news. And we're starting to get jealous because we know you guys have got the scoops out there. Whether it's about a fraudulent startup founder, a big corporation that you want to expose, send it to us. Send. And we'll see you, hopefully, tomorrow. Welcome to the studio, Dr. Suhaib Shahid, the founder of financial literacy startup Bespoke Options Academy here in Dubai. Welcome
Thank
to
you.
Smashy Business.
Thanks for having me.
Explain to me, you guys are based here. Explain mm-hmm. to me and to listeners and the viewers exactly what it is that you do. What is financial literacy? How do you help people?
So we help people in different ways, all right? So we teach people how to, you know, generate passive income in the stock market. We help them how to, you know, invest in stocks responsibly. Mm-hmm. We also teach them how to, you know, grow their wealth responsibly. And we do it in different ways, right? So we have free workshops at the DIFC Academy. We also are in the process of putting up all of our material free online. And the reason we're doing this for free is because we don't want money to be an excuse or an impediment for people to learn about financial literacy. And for those people who want, you know, a more hands-on approach, you know, we do two-day workshops again at the DIFC Academy.
Great.
And through these workshops, we take people who know nothing about the stock market to a place where they know something about the stock market. They know how it works, why it works, and they know about our strategy. And then we offer them 3 months of support. This includes, you know, live coaching calls, events, you know, golf tournaments, for example. But they also include my own, you know, trades so that they can follow, not because for them to copy, but for them to learn about my thought process. And the reason I emphasize this is because, you know, God forbid something happens to me, I don't want my clients to stop learning and stop their journey towards financial,
right.
Financial independence.
Okay. You said responsibly mm-hmm. Invest in stocks. Is there such a thing as investing in stocks being responsible, because it's quite risky,
yeah.
And it's quite volatile.
Right.
I mean, yeah, I've never invested in stocks, yeah. but I know a lot of people who invested and regretted it because, you know, they said, well, we lost so much money, we would rather invest in real estate.
Right, right. No, you're right. I think there are a lot of stereotypes about the stock market, a lot of misperceptions, I would say. You know, the stock market's volatile. The stock market, I know someone, my cousin, he lost money, for example.
Yeah.
But I think if you think about it, if you take a step
back. There's always someone's cousin that's lost money in stocks.
That's okay. Right. But if you think about it, if you take a step back, you see that one can say the same thing about any asset class.
Mm.
You can say the same thing about real estate. I'm sure you'll find people who say, I lost money in real estate 2008-09, or even
right.
after that. You can say the same thing about crypto or private equity
mm-hmm.
Or any
sure.
business, right? So, and the stock market is not unique in that way. So that is why we emphasize to people that, you know, knowledge is key here, because a lot of people come to me and say, okay, how much money do I need to start trading options? And I'm like, the short answer is $2,000 in an investment account.
Uh-huh.
The long answer and more nuanced answer is that knowledge is more important than money. Because once you have the knowledge, you start breaking those misperceptions or stereotypes that you had.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just give you an example, right? So I'm sure you've heard, you know, a lot of, you know, you guys were talking about sports a little while ago. You've heard of a lot of pro, you know, pro soccer players or pro, I don't know, hockey players or what have you, you know, losing all of their money and going broke after retirement. Right?
Yes.
You also heard of people, you know, lottery winners going broke. they had the money, but they did not have the knowledge.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
On the other hand, I'm sure you've also heard of people who built up wealth, lost it, built it back up again because they had knowledge.
Yeah.
So that's what we emphasize here. We're like, knowledge is key, and come to our free webinars, free workshops, because you have nothing to lose. You might just learn something.
Okay, that's great. Are you seeing more younger people investing in stocks? Well, more females as well. What is the trend?
Well, so precisely speaking, so what we teach people is how to buy stocks that they want to buy, or ETFs they want to buy, but we teach them how to do that by selling options, right? It's a very specific way we teach them how to do it. And if they want to sell their ETF or their stock, we tell them how to do it by selling options. So options are like a gateway to buying a stock, and also a gateway to sell a stock. So in terms of the demographic, a lot of our there's a wide variety. Obviously, those you know with our older demographic, they have larger accounts they're working with.
Mm-hmm.
The younger demographic have a smaller account they're working with.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the small or large doesn't matter. It really comes down to the knowledge that you acquire. Because I started off with a very small account.
Okay.
I've built it over time because of the knowledge I acquired.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Let's talk about having that additional revenue stream. Usually it's, because I tried to use the Sarua app once and, kind of just put money there and just left it for a while. Ended up taking it back for, just to go shopping with it. Very irresponsible of me. Should look into investing generally. What advice would you give people? I guess not investment advice, but when it comes to investing, how important is it to be patient when it comes to a stock? I mean, Meta is just right now paying dividends. I think the younger generation, especially, a lot of them do listen to this show. They're very impatient, generally.
Mm-hmm.
How important is it to be patient when it comes to this?
It's
just to help people understand
that
it is that additional revenue stream and
so again, a lot of folks come and ask me, so how much money will I make? And I tell them there won't be any promises, first of all, and if anyone is making you any promises, run away as fast as possible.
Right.
But for myself, I try to go for, and I emphasize on the try, because it doesn't always happen, but I try to go for 1-4% a month. But the reason I'm saying all of this is to come back to your question, which is the most important thing is how disciplined you are. So the most important thing in terms of how much you make is how disciplined you are and your risk profile, right? So an older person would have a different risk profile than a younger person because they have kids, they might maybe have a mortgage and so on. A younger person is more risk-loving anyway. But it really comes down to discipline. So as long as you're in, if you have fear in one extreme and if greed in one extreme, you want to be somewhere in the middle.
Right.
And I do acknowledge it's easier said than done.
How stressful is it working in stocks? Because we've all heard the stories. I interviewed a couple of people a few months back, and one of them said, because I work in stocks, I'm addicted to Xanax. It keeps me up at night.
Yeah. So I say to my clients that if a trade keeps you up at night, you did something wrong, right? You must be willing to sleep properly. So the way we teach people how to do this is that we say to them that once you've acquired the knowledge, you shouldn't be spending more than 30 minutes a day, right? And you should be only selling options on stocks you want to buy anyway, or ETFs you want to buy anyway. And how do you know which stocks you buy? Well, you need to do your homework. So once you've done the homework, and once you know the price you're comfortable at, you can go ahead and sell an option on a stock or on an ETF. So if you follow these guidelines, there's no reason for you to lose sleep. And I know the stock market is a big world, right? It's a different ways people do it. Some people spend all day, some people spend nights, but we spend only 30 minutes. And now at this stage, I've been doing this for a long time, I sometimes spend less than 10 minutes, less than 5 minutes, sometimes nothing, 0 minutes when it comes to trading. But I think it's important for me to emphasize what options are at this point, because so options are really a way to buy stocks at a discount and get paid for it. So I'll give you an insurance company analogy. So I'm sure, Lubna, you have you have a car, and I'm sure you have insurance, and you pay a premium each month to the insurance company. And the likelihood of you, you know, bumping your car, for example, is very low, right? But you're still paying insurance every single month to your insurance company,
sure,
right? So God forbid something happens this month to your car and your insurance company takes care of it, you still have to pay them premium this month, right? So the same thing is what we teach people how to do in the stock market. We teach them how to be insurance companies in the stock market. So for example, if there's a stock we're looking at and you sell an option, if the stock stays above that price we're comfortable with, we just get the insurance premium and that's that, mm-hmm, right? But if it goes below a certain price, we have to buy that stock and we still make that premium, and we're more than happy to buy that stock because, number one, it's the stock we wanted to buy anyway. It's the stock we're buying at a discount compared to the market price, and we know it's going to go up because we've done our homework.
Right. I want to get your opinion on something, because Etihad is going to potentially list. We've had other listed companies here in the region. The stock, you know, doesn't really go crazy. We see a lot of activity on Wall Street, you know, Nvidia, Meta paying investors its first dividends. What is your take on Etihad listing? Any predictions?
No, so I don't make predictions, so I won't make any predictions on the particular company. But I would say that, you know, the past year and this year have been, you know, 2 years of IPOs in the Gulf region, right? Mm. So the UAE, other countries in the Gulf, I think this just goes to show you the interest people have, not just domestic investors, but also foreign investors in the region and businesses in the region.
Okay, and when it comes to tech, do you think we'll see, I know we can't give investment advice, but just generally your kind of your expert opinion, do you think that, without naming any companies, do you think that, and I know we have to be careful here, but do you think we'll see more tech companies pay investors back dividends? Do you think the tech industry will see that?
Yeah, you mentioned Meta, and I think Meta won't be the only one. I think we'll see a gradual trend towards this way. I think a lot of these tech companies became overinflated and overhired during the early parts of the pandemic, and then they had to kind of, you know, deleverage, and that meant a lot of job losses too. But if you compare the people they hired and the people they fired, the difference is still positive, right? So I think that's an important thing to mention here. But I think the trend is definitely going towards what you're saying.
And when it comes to, it's great having an expert like you here, because Richard and I, who co-hosts, he's the CEO of the company and he co-hosts this with me. He's in Saudi for a leap right now. But we often, you know, talk about that when it comes to the stock exchanges here in the GCC, will there ever be kind of a merger of the stock exchanges? But I know mm-hmm. that you can't talk much about that.
Yeah, or yeah. I would rather not. I think it's an interesting idea, and I think logistically it's awfully difficult to do. Mm. Just think about how
we're not famous for the logistics here.
Right.
In
so
the
think
region,
just think about how unified Europe is. Right.
Yeah.
But all of those countries have their own stock exchanges, mm. right? And by the way, I think, you know, what we teach people is, at least for now, is how to sell options on stocks on the S&P 500. So it's only on American-based stocks.
Okay, yeah. That's great. Yeah. I wish you had clarified that in the yeah. beginning, but
yeah. because a lot
no
of,
worries, well, no worries.
To be honest, a lot of stocks here, they don't allow for trading of options. There are few companies that allow trading of options.
Okay.
So there's not much of a point right now, I think.
I did not know that,
for
to be honest
retail
with
investor,
you.
But you so can you great. Can be okay. here, you can sit here, you can sit in this room, and you can easily trade options on the S&P 500.
Okay. Okay. You're already educating me just during this interview. Going back to educational offerings. How can people learn on a budget, and what are the prices like? It's called an academy. Tell me a little bit about the offering so that we understand exactly what people can opt for.
Yeah, well, there are two, you know, branches. You know, one are the free workshops we offer at DIFC Academy. We also
people
are in
can
the process
get in touch through your website to find that out.
Through our website, through social media. So we have a free workshop coming on towards the end of April, 2 days of multiple free workshops. Mm-hmm. And we're also in the process of putting all of our introductory material on a platform for free, just so that people who are interested, they can go step by step through the whole process and learn. And then we also, as I mentioned, we also have a 2-day paid workshop, and which comes with three months of support, events, communities, and so on. So we're really trying to center our business around a community, because we could have done all of this online. Mm-hmm. And honestly had bigger margins, a bigger bottom line. But for us, building this around a community came first. And we're very happy we're doing it that way, because we really want to spread this message as much as possible, and for people to meet other people, because once you're in a community and you meet other like-minded people, not only do you get motivated, but you also start holding yourself accountable.
Absolutely. What is the ratio of men to women? I'm just kind of curious.
It's an interesting question, because I think the finance world, the economic world, is mostly male dominated, yeah. Right? So I would say it's 70% men, 30% women.
Okay. Yeah. How difficult is it? We talk about financial literacy. Stocks, to me, are very interesting, but there are a lot of technical technicalities, details. You have to be very careful even when talking about it. You can't give, investment advice. There's a lot that goes into that, and it really puts a lot of people off of it.
Yeah.
How difficult is it actually to invest responsibly in stocks, to learn how to do that?
Yeah, no, it's. I will say this, that there is a learning curve, right? Especially the way we teach people, there is definitely a learning curve. You have to put in the effort. But once you've put in the effort, and I say this responsibly, it can change your life financially. You'll start looking at the investment world differently. Because if you look at our industry, right, the way it's evolved is that for the longest time, if you were interested in the stock market, you'd go to a bank or a financial advisor, fill up a bunch of papers, you had no idea about. And then they would tell you that, Lubna, this fund is for you. So, hey, this fund is for you. And a year later, we'll find how much returns we made in an email or a letter. But through technological progress, what we've seen is that a lot of these professional money managers, they're not able to outperform the market. In fact, 92% of them lose money over a 15-year time span. I should correct myself, not lose money, underperform the market over a 15-year lifespan. Now,
wow.
So people started
scary stats.
People started thinking, well, if the pros can't do it, why don't I just put my money in an ETF, exchange traded funds? Mm-hmm. It's safer. I have exposure to a lot of different stocks, and ETFs are great because they're cheap. You cut the middleman out, and they're great for people who don't know anything about the stock market or very little about the stock market. But we're trying to push the frontier and say that, just with a bit of knowledge, it won't be easy, but just with a bit of knowledge and application and some elbow grease, you are able to do as well, or in fact, better than a lot of money managers. It is possible. You just need to put some time and effort in the beginning, and you should be able to handle your own money. You don't have to give your money to anyone. You should be responsible for your money, and you don't have to spend too much time on it once you've learned how to do it.
Why did you, that's great, by the way, thank you for that. Why did you decide to launch the Academy?
Yeah.
Besides the services that you provide, the educational part of it,
yeah.
what triggered you to do that?
Well, when I was a kid, I did what society told me to do. Yeah, I went to school, got good grades, got a scholarship, an academic scholarship, to do my master's and PhD from Switzerland in economics. And I'm glad I stopped there, because society also tells you to work until you retire, live off a pension until you die. And you know what? Even after the PhD, I was still financially illiterate for myself, in terms of handling my own money. Right.
Right.
So
guilty over here as
right,
well.
Right. And we are not the only ones. A lot of people struggle with this.
Yeah.
So it wasn't until I started working at the World Bank in Washington, D.C., at the IMF in Washington, D.C., that I started learning about investing. So the reason I decided to set up Bespoke was because, just because I grew up financially literate didn't mean my daughter had to grow up that way, right? So a lot of formally educated people, they struggle with their finances even though they make good money, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it leads to problems in their marriages, it leads to issues with their health and overall, decrease in their well-being. So we decided to set this up and, help people, gain financial independence through our education, through the stock market, and tell them that you can do this for yourself.
Absolutely, that's really interesting. What is the vision for the academy? Where do you see it going?
Well, we want to help as many people as possible, achieve financial independence through our education, right? Which is also why we have that free component there. So, we keep getting good feedback from our clients. We get to hear excellent anecdotes. Just the other day, one of our clients texted me saying that, "So, hey, now I'm able to afford a personal trainer." Right?
Wow.
Those are not small things, right? I think a lot of us who've had personal trainers, we might take it for granted, but those are not small things if we think about it. So, as long as we keep hearing these stories, we know we're on the right track. Once we stop hearing these stories, we know we need to do some course correction.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. It's been a fascinating conversation, and I will be looking into the academy. It's really sparked an interest in me now, and it's amazing to always develop yourself. And as you said, it comes into play in everyday life. We often don't think about it. We don't financially plan. Especially the younger generation,
yeah.
I think we don't think about it like our parents used
to. That's right.
To do.
That's right.
So, yeah, thank you so much for your time.
Thank
it's
you.
Been absolutely brilliant. Stream us on smashy.tv. You already know where to find us on podcasts, wherever you got your podcasts, Apple, Anghami, Spotify, and we'll see you tomorrow.